Coming up on Tech News Today, Paul Thurrott helps us figure out the real reason Steve Sinofsky left Microsoft. Yahoo's about to go all Gmail, and can Jawbone redeem the up? All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Tuesday, November 13th, 2012. Tech News Today is brought to you by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile by Citrix. Try ShareFile today. For a 30-day free trial, go to ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and enter TNT. And by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. Plus more than 50 new features, including mobile-responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use offer code TNT11. And by Ford, featuring available sync. Now you can control your media player with simple voice commands. Enjoy your drive while you easily search and listen to your favorite songs. Check it out on the 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zakhtar.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we keep you up to date on the most important stories in the tech world, put them in context for you, starting each time with the top 10 stories of the day in the news feeds. Microsoft blew up your Twitter last night, along with a lot of other stuff, announcing that Steve Sinofsky, head of the ridiculously long explanatory blog post division, as well as Windows and Windows Live, will leave Microsoft immediately. Head of Windows Planning, Julie Larson-Green, will take over lead of the Windows Engineering side, while the division's CFO, Tammy Reller, will take on business and marketing strategy for Windows.
They're watching you. Government surveillance of citizens' lives is rising sharply around the world, at least according to Google's latest report, handing off user data to official agencies. They should know. In the first half of 2012, authorities worldwide made 20,939 requests for access to personal data from Google users, including search results, access to Gmail accounts, removal of YouTube videos. Requests are rising steeply, too. There was a low of 12,539 back in 2009 when Google first published its transparency report. So start panicking because it's only getting worse.
Look, it's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a lawsuit going to trial. They look really similar.
They really do.
The battle between Motorola and Microsoft is underway in federal court. At issue in the case is standards-based patents owned by Motorola related to H.264 video and Wi-Fi. Microsoft initiated the suit, saying Motorola violated promises it made to license the patents at fair and reasonable rates. Motorola wants about $4 billion per year. Microsoft says it'll gladly pay $1.21 million a year. The trial ought to sort out that number soon.
67-year-old John McAfee, founder of the security company McAfee, is on the run from police in Belize on suspicion of murder of his neighbor, 52-year-old Gregory Fowl. Police found Fowl floating in his pool, dead from a gunshot wound to the head. Wired's Joshua Davis spoke with McAfee, who is concerned that whomever shot Fowl was actually after McAfee. He plans to remain in the country in hiding. Wired plans to publish his story in the January issue of the magazine.
The Nexus 4 went on sale in Europe today, and it's selling like hotcakes. In fact, it's so hot, it sold out within minutes. Both versions of the Nexus 4 are now listed as coming soon on the Play Store in the UK. The 32-gigabyte version of the Nexus 10 tablet is also apparently no longer in stock. A lot of users are complaining that the Play Store had errors that prevented them from getting the Nexus that they wanted. Google said it has nothing to share on Nexus sales figures at this time.
There's a new competitor in the wearable fitness gadget race, but it's an old one.
Wait, which one is it?
Say hello to the new Jawbone
Up. I don't know. It already burned me once.
Okay,
Shame on it.
Of course, it'll track your fitness and sleep patterns. But unlike the first generation Up, Jawbone says the new version has been toughened up extensively, so it won't fall apart or fail you like the original one did, Sarah.
And the new Jawbone Up. Tough.
I don't know. Am I going to get sucked into this thing again?
Well, yeah.
Probably.
I'll tell you who's getting sucked into things. People who are playing Call of Duty Black Ops 2 after picking it up last night at midnight. But the higher stakes game is which gaming franchise is going to set the most records for sales. Microsoft reports Halo 4 sold $220 million worth of games in its first 24 hours after launch on November 6th. That's bigger than the biggest movie launch of all time, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. How much is Call of Duty Black Ops 2 going to sell? We'll find out soon. Let the games begin.
Text messaging volume in the U.S. has declined for the first time ever, according to a new research report by Shaitan Sharma.
I've noticed more people looking up.
What do you mean?
Like instead of, looking
up. Oh, come on, Tom. That's not what we... Just listen. Shaitan Sharma looked at mobile data in the third quarter of the year and attributed the declines to the rise of IP messaging. Big surprise. And the fact that operators have been slow to evolve their strategies in the segment. I mean, I don't know how you evolve SMS, but whatever. Apple's iMessage, Facebook Messenger, Pair, all sorts of non-SMS chatting options are cutting into those carriers' bottom lines. I feel so bad for them all.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're looking up, but they're using Siri to send the message. That's what happened.
Yeah, you still... You just want to take my news views and make it your own.
Google announced a new feature that allows YouTube videos to be pushed from an Android device to a Google TV. Yes, Google TV has its own YouTube app, but the idea is to use your Android device like a remote. The video isn't actually streamed from the device like Apple AirPlay, but it's found by Google TV and streamed directly from the device. Comment, sir?
No, that was really nice.
Thank you.
Can your processor ever have too many cores? Well, Intel released its first 60-core processor called the Phi. It's more like a GPU and less like a CPU. If you're wondering when you get to have a chance to play with this, you'll have to wait. Unless you happen to be Stephen Hawking. That's right, Stephen Hawking and the Cosmos Lab at the University of Cambridge will have early access to the processor in their SGI supercomputer.
This episode of Tech News Today brought to you by ShareFile. Everybody in business has to deal with meetings, and they have to deal with emailing files, and they have to deal with all kinds of remote situations. If you want to send secure emails of confidential information that are huge in some cases, maybe they're big videos or large documents, it's really, really hard to get stuff to people on the go unless... you're using ShareFile by Citrix, the all-in-one business solution for sending, sharing, and receiving files of almost any size without the worries about security. ShareFile was designed for business and can be customized to meet your company's specific needs. Every file stays under your control, so you know it's secure. You manage who has access for how long. You see when the files are opened, who opened them. And on the other end, it's easy. The person getting the file just clicks a link. You can access files from any computer, any mobile device, and it helps you work more efficiently. And we use it here, and it's very convenient. It's helped me quite a bit in other areas of my business where I just needed to get large documents to people. So don't take my word for it, though. Try ShareFile today. Sign up with our special offer, a full 30-day free trial. Go to ShareFile.com, click on the radio microphone, and enter TNT. Remember, visit ShareFile.com, type in TNT, and we thank them for their support of Tech News Today. Joining us now, Derek Colanduno, co-host of the Skepticality podcast, the official podcast of Skeptic Magazine, and one of the people that helps make my Dragon Con every year one of the best experiences of the year. Derek, how's it going, man?
Hey, getting ready for Dragon Con 2013 now?
Yeah, it's never too early, is it?
Oh, gosh, we're knee deep in planning for next year already, so, you know, it's never ends.
Also joining us today, we have the Steve Sinofsky news to talk about. So Paul Thurrott, very kindly, host of Windows Weekly and the Win Super site, joining us. So, Paul, are you excited? Are you depressed? What do you make of Microsoft giving Steve Sinofsky the boot? Or is it giving Steve Sinofsky the boot?
I just saw this in the back, so I am excited, but this is why.
And actually, you're right. That's a good point. Thank you for taking a break from Call of Duty Black Ops 2 to talk to us this morning.
Well, excited is the wrong word. I mean, obviously, this is a huge change, and it's going to take a while to digest it. I don't think anyone saw this coming.
Steve Sinofsky, if you don't know, was president of Windows and Windows Live. A lot of these stories are citing growing tension between Sinofsky and other executives, accusations, allegations, not a team player.
It's like Microsoft's own forestall.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels to that situation. Yes. Reportedly, Bill Gates backed Ballmer in the departure, and a lot of folks have mentioned Jay Allard, Robbie Box, Stephen Elop, Ray Ozzie all left Microsoft in some part, some people say, because of their relationship with Steve Sinofsky. How much of this do you think is true, Paul?
All of it, Tom, and more. I think there's a story here that has yet to be told, but not only are there people who left Microsoft because of this person, there are people who left Windows and went to other parts of Microsoft because of him. And he was a very divisive character. Mary Jo and I will probably have some stories to share this week on Windows Weekly, for example, of our own personal experiences. But we know that the way we were treated by this individual was very common, and that he did this across Microsoft and probably with other people outside of Microsoft as well.
But on the other hand, he came over from Microsoft Office into Windows after Vista and seems to have rejuvenated that. How much of that success is because of his iron-fisted rule, and how much of it is just a good team?
You know, I've always compared him to MacArthur. You know, I said he was the right guy in the Pacific during World War II, but by the time Korea happened, he wanted to nuke China, and they had to yank him out of there. And I think this was his China moment. You know, I think he had finally crossed the line. I honestly didn't expect it to happen this quickly, but this was the kind of ending that was pretty much always going to happen here.
Now, in a press release, Steve Ballmer cited the need for more integrated and rapid development cycles for offerings in the internal email that you had up on WinSuperSite that I read. He cited the need to cooperate across groups three times. That seems to indicate that one of the things they're hoping to get done now is less of this siloing, less of the department heads with the guns pointed at each other.
Yeah, exactly right. A lot of the problem with the Sinofsky Windows division was that they had a serious problem with not invented here, to the tune of even things that were part of Windows that came from before his regime were not interesting to him. He wanted them out of Windows. And so, you know, he talks about reimagining Windows, but a lot of that was him getting rid of technology that he wasn't directly responsible for, even including the file system, you know, NTFS, the beloved file system in Windows. You know, we're going to make a weaker version of that. We're going to call it REFS, as in reimagine file system, basically. And we're going to replace even NTFS, you know, and it's that kind of, it's almost craziness, you know, that they had to start over from scratch with Windows 8 rather than build what they were doing on things that were there already and were very good. And I think that's a big part of the problem.
Now, Julie Larson-Green takes over the Windows engineering team in cooperation with Tammy Reller, who takes over the business and marketing strategy. Is there a chance that Julie Larson-Green gets to take over the whole thing at some point? Or is this just, we're going to be going outside and looking for somebody else to head this team?
My gut tells me they're going to look elsewhere. You know, Julie Larson-Green was not named president of the Windows and Windows Live division, which I think was notable. We'll see how that goes. You know, there are two sides to this. I mean, she was obviously a top lieutenant of Sinofsky's, and so it's very interesting that she's not just still there, but is in fact in charge of Windows engineering. On the other hand, I do think that they're going to look further for someone to actually lead the division. And so we'll see how that plays out, hopefully soon.
John Devana and Grant George led Windows development and testing. Why do you think they picked Julie Larson-Green, who's sort of, I guess, usually credited with the interface work?
Yeah, I mean, she oversaw the what we would call the user experience of Windows 7 and 8 and was, I think, Steven Sinofsky's probably top lieutenant and closest confidant in that group. So I think from an orderly transition standpoint, it makes sense for them to move on to her. But I've heard from numerous people that she's not necessarily the ideal candidate for this role. And there's some expectation that maybe this is something that changes down the road.
Paul, do you think with Sinofsky's departure and possibly the new head of Windows, is this going to attract some of these people that have left? Will they get Jay Allard back? Could they court these people back? Because this was a different right. Microsoft under these people, and they're gone. But Sinofsky out, would things change?
I don't see that happening. I mean, obviously, that would be kind of incredible. But they've gone down this path with Windows 8, and so it's one of those like it or hate it or whatever. But they have gone down this path, and I don't see them stepping back from that cliff. You know, they've commingled Windows, desktop Windows, with this mobile operating system, and it's new and it's different, and it would be horrifically bad if they just walked away from that. So I don't really see that happening, and so it's unclear if any of those people could come back or any of the people who are still at Microsoft, you know, but in other divisions could come back to Windows. I guess we'll see, but I don't see that happening. So hopefully by saying that, it will happen.
But they call in the diaspora. What's your bet that Forrestal and Sinofsky team up?
I think that would be awesome. That would be two black holes sucking against each other until they were both gone. You know, they're obviously the same person. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Maybe we've never seen them in the same room at the same time
exactly.
that I know of. So, all right. Of course, there'll be more to talk about, more repercussions. I'm sure more news will come out about this. So check out Windows Weekly this Thursday with Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and I, as you're going to be hosting that, right?
Yeah, I can't wait for the story.
Rubbing our hands together in glee.
We got 2 hours to talk about this, so it's going to be great on Thursday.
I'm going to bring confetti.
All right, Paul, thanks so much for joining us and chatting with us about it, man.
Sure thing. Thanks very much.
WinSuperSite.com if you want to follow more of what Paul thinks about this sort of thing. Meanwhile, other news to talk about. Bank of America is the latest to line up to try to crack the mobile payments space.
Yeah, that's right. They don't seem very excited about it. Trevor Rubel, the EVP of Bank of America's Strategy and Emerging Products, was quoted as saying, "I hate to come out with a commodity product, but every bank should have one."
I hate to come out with this product.
True. That's a direct quote, but still. So this is Bank of America's merchant services. They have a variety of services for small business owners. They've launched Mobile Pay. It's actually going to Mobile Pay on Demand, rather. It's going to launch on December 3rd, but it was announced today, and it allows small business owners to accept customer payments over a cell phone. This is like the Square dongle or the PayPal dongle or the Groupon dongle. Just looks a little bit different. Yeah, did you know that there was a Groupon dongle?
I had no idea.
Well, there is, and it actually has the best rate of them all. So between Square has the highest rate. It's 2.75% per swiped transaction. That's Square. Obviously, Square is kind of the one who put all these mobile payment options on the map. It's doing $8 billion in annual payments. Bank of America's will be 2.7% per swiped transaction. And Groupon's version is 1.8% plus a 50-cent fee, although it does require a merchant to be an active daily deal provider. So that's a whole headache that comes with that. It comes with a better rate. But B of A, Bank of America, says that it's got potential customers already. I mean, this just sort of makes sense. 2 million small to mid-sized businesses that are using Bank of America but don't use payment terminals because either they just don't do enough to justify the cost, or they are, you know, a taxi driver, or, you know, a person who doesn't make sense to have a payment terminal installed anywhere. It's going to have some perks like next day access to funds. Not all mobile payment services will provide that. Customer service representatives will be available if people have issues. And also retailers will be the merchant of record. So if I go to the farmer's market and I buy some applesauce, then on my statement, it'll say, you know, $10 paid to Joe's Applesauce rather than some sort of weird name or Square. Which is, you know, you can usually remember where you were and what you did, but it just makes it feel a little bit more official, especially, you know, if you're doing business and you want to seem as legit as possible to a consumer. And then if you sign up by the end of the year, customers will receive a 1-year subscription to the Deals marketing platform, which is usually $200 annually, which allows business owners to create a website and offer some daily deal like offers or loyalty programs, coupons, that sort of thing. And then it's sort of an easy way to syndicate across Facebook and Twitter. 8coupons.com is another place. And then when offers are redeemed, B of A will charge merchants a small fee. So there are a lot of perks related to this. I am a Bank of America customer. There are a lot of things about Bank of America I don't like. But I will say that their mobile experience is pretty great. It's easy to transfer funds between a variety of accounts. I do that with other Bank of America customers because we move a lot of money, you know, on the circles that I run in. So in this sense, I kind of go like Bank of America is like the least cool of all of the merchant services. But it is pretty convenient if you're already a customer, especially if you're using Bank of America and you're running a small business with them.
Yeah, the thing is, like, you have Square, you have PayPal. These are kind of newer companies versus Bank of America, which has had a ton of financial experience. It's interesting to say that this is a commodity product because that means this is the other half of the credit card, right? They issue the credit card. They want to get the money back. So they go, every bank will probably have one of these, to the point where it's going to get competitive. The fact that Bank of America has a lower rate than other competitors, that's interesting. The other services that they can offer, it'll be nice to see enough competition out there that the small businesses can go, you know what, there's not just one to go after. We can actually shop around and find the best rate and the best service. So I'm assuming every bank's going to have this in like less than 5 years.
Derek,
I'm sure.
What do you think of this?
Well, I don't know if I could comment on this too much because my wife right now is still in a business trip dealing with this issue because this is what she does for a living. So she does mobile playmates, and her company that she does this with, they do 98% of them in the world. So she actually deals with this, and she mentioned to me that Bank of America was getting one of these about 2 or 3 months ago, and she's at a meeting right now with them about the finalizing some of the back end stuff.
It's a wide open field right now. I mean, Square, as you mentioned, Sarah, is the darling of this space, but nobody's cracked it. I mean, I've mentioned Square to some friends of mine who run small businesses, and they've looked at it, and a lot of them have said 2.75% is just too much.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford to do that. I'll stick with my old fashioned terminal, which is a lower rate. And doesn't charge me anything for debit cards, you know. So it's sort of a legacy system, and it's not as convenient. And it's the people who want the convenience or the hipness who go for these new systems. But it is interesting to see the pressure being applied to Bank of America, sort of grudgingly saying, "Well, we kind of have to do this now."
Exactly.
The thing about these things, though, is that you're undercutting one of the kind of stealing money. Things about the mobile plane, not the the credit card payment system, where a lot of merchants have to spend a lot of money on those little terminals, which actually cost quite a bit, and you have to have really crystal clear credit and all these things. For these little mobile devices, almost anybody can do it, and that is actually one of the reasons why that quote probably came, where they didn't want to do this, but they kind of have to be in the market anymore.
Yeah.
So they can't just keep stealing your money if you're a merchant, just because, you know, they have the, you know, the iron clasp on the entire the credit card swiping system.
All right, let's move along to Yahoo. We've been waiting for a sort of definitive moment for Marissa Meyer. And a lot of people feel like the revision of Yahoo Mail that's looming could be it.
Yeah, All Things D is reporting that Yahoo is going to overhaul Yahoo Mail's look. It's going to apparently look more like Gmail, and the idea is to compete with Gmail at that point. And the sources are saying that the latest iteration of Yahoo Mail is coming in early December, right after that new homepage that we've seen been floating around the internet. So I went to my Yahoo email this morning to see what it looked like, because I hadn't seen it in, I don't know, 6-7 months, just to see what it looked like compared to Gmail. It's definitely kind of bloated. I'm kind of curious, you know, what would Yahoo Mail have to do to compete with Google Mail? I mean, what killer features do you want to see in Yahoo that would be like, okay, I'm totally going over there because this is cool? Because Alto came out. It's pretty nifty, but is that kind of the way to go?
I mean, is mail threaded in Yahoo Mail at this point, the way that it is in Gmail?
I haven't replied.
Accessed my Yahoo account in way too long, so
no, it's not threaded the way it is.
I mean, that would be the first thing. I'm just used to that. That's what I consider normal for a web based email system. Just because I use Gmail so much, so that would be the first thing that I'd think just makes sense, because that's a norm for most people. I mean, unless they want to bring in Gmail through something like Apple Mail or.
I am the target market here, by the way. Okay. Like, I've had a Yahoo Mail account since the 90s. And it was my main email account for the longest time until Gmail came along, and I slowly began to switch over to Gmail. And now I pretty much live in Gmail. I still have my Yahoo Mail account, and I use it every day, but it's more of my junk mail account. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the account that I use. In fact, I recently took it down off my website. It used to be my kind of public contact information, and I've changed it to a TomMerritt.com address. Because I'm just, it's not bad, but I just don't have any reason to keep using it. So what they'd have to do a lot to get me off Gmail. I'm invested in Gmail right now. I'm deep into it. I've got filters set up and all my email directing there. So I can't imagine what they could do to switch me over. I can imagine a lot of things they would do to make it easier to use and all of that, but... Jason, you're not.
I'm nodding because I'm in the same position. I was Yahoo Mail forever, and then in the last couple of years switched to Gmail. I think the biggest thing for me is how much work would I have to do to go back to Yahoo Mail? Because as you said, right now my personal Yahoo Mail is filled with a lot of spam, and for me to tame that and actually peel that back and unsubscribe and hide and apply their filters, that's a lot of work that I don't need to do if I stick with Gmail, especially considering I enjoy the Gmail experience. I don't know what they could do to lure me back. It would, I mean, I couldn't even tell you because off the top of my head, I don't think that there's anything that they could do. It'd just be too much work unless I was to open a new email entirely and start from scratch, which I wouldn't want to do that either.
Derek, is there anything Yahoo could do to win you over, or are you actually still with Yahoo?
I have a Yahoo account, but kind of like you, I use my Yahoo account anytime I have subscriptions to all that stuff that I just want to keep tabs of, but I don't want to actually have it in my normal email address. I use Gmail, but nobody ever sees that address because I have everything filtered through it because I love their spam filter. So I actually use their Postini spam filter. So I use Gmail all the time, but nobody ever sees that because I don't use that address.
Most of my Yahoo mail says, join my network on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the same idea. This is all my newsletter subscriptions and all those things like that. I mean, that's what I use it for.
I mean, it looks like Yahoo would have to just clear out a lot of this Chrome. There's a lot of like graphics everywhere. It's all fancy looking, and it's very busy looking. But the thing, I'm not expecting anything like as cool as Alto Mail. I'm not expecting anything with stacks or like Pinterest style looks. I'm thinking they're just going to clear this all out. It's going to look just as simple as Gmail because that's what it looks like Yahoo's doing. They're stripping down, removing all this extra gradients and things just to make it something simpler, like a flattened Windows 8 style.
Well, and for better or for worse, Google has done a really good job of integrating things like Google Plus, Google Drive, Gmail, your calendar. It's all there. It's all one thing. It's pretty unified.
It's easy for me to reply as a different email address, choose to manage multiple accounts. I can access Gmail by POP without paying a subscription fee.
Sure.
There's all kinds of little advantages like that. I'm just starting to think of them right now.
All right, Yahoo, you got your work cut out for you.
Let's take a quick break. Thank our other sponsor for today's show, the new Squarespace.com. Faster and easier than ever to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. If you or maybe someone you know or maybe even just a business you like don't have a good website, Squarespace is the solution to that. Go over there and take a look right now. It's better than ever. It's WYSIWYG. Pretty much you drag and drop stuff around now. Squarespace 6 is a great way to manage your website. I do it in a lot of different interfaces, and I have to say Squarespace has got one of the best now with the new customizable templates. You can make a great-looking website with a couple of clicks. You drag and drop your images in. They upload them and resize them into multiple sizes so your images and your layout looks right on whatever device people are using, because not everybody's using a 13-inch screen anymore. Those days are long gone, 19-inch screen or whatever. I mean, people are using tablets or using phones. Screen sizes are all over the place. Squarespace is reliable. They stayed up during Hurricane Sandy through gargantuan efforts, and they're available 24/7 for support. But you don't even have to take our word for it. Go to squarespace.com right now and start a website. You can start it free. Try it out. See if you like it. Maybe even import your current site just to see how it looks. If you do decide to keep it, though, remember this. Squarespace.com, offer code TNT11. And current Squarespace customers can convert their accounts and content to the new Squarespace. But if you decide to purchase, use offer code TNT11 and get 10% off your first purchase on new Squarespace account, including monthly and annual plans. With that annual plan, you not only save 10% off the entire year, but you get a free domain name. Squarespace.com, give it a shot. Get a good-looking website. And we thank them for their support of Tech News Today. More news to discuss. The first thing we're going to talk about here is that Jawbone Fit. Now, Sarah was pretty skeptical here, I as.
It's not the Fit. The Fit's like fit.
What did I call it?
You call it the Fit.
What
it's
is it? It's the Jawbone Up.
It's the Up.
Oh, that's bad news for Jawbone already, in my mind.
It's going to win you over right away. But this was the first fitness gadget that really took off, I thought, at least in my memory. And then it completely failed because it had all of these problems with, I don't know, water getting in, and then the actual circuitry breaking inside because it wasn't exactly meant to wear 24/7. The new Up is available now. Unlike the other devices, it does track your sleep. So it does, you know, movement and nutrition, but sleep is the one thing that keeps this thing somewhat separated out from a lot of the other ones. Costs $130. Jawbone told CNET that it's designed to withstand the 24/7 usage at this point. They have an internal rugged standard higher than some military standards that they tested this with. So they're basically saying, they're trying to do all the PR in the world to say, Sarah, it's going to handle your usage day by day. You could smash this thing, drop it all you want. They figured out that the flaws were improper bonding, which caused water issues, and that also caused issues with the flexibility, which is going to change things. Right now it's available in black only. It's going to have other color options eventually. No Android app yet, iOS only. So I guess the question is, have they done enough with their PR to make you give Jawbone up a second chance?
Maybe. I remember I actually, it's been almost a year to the day because it was like Thanksgiving where I put my Jawbone on and I was so excited and I thought it looked pretty cool. And then the first couple of nights that I slept with it, I thought, this is a little bit annoying. I mean, the point is to never take it off, right? But it kind of hurt almost a little. It was like, I wasn't crazy about the idea of sleeping with this thing on. So that, if it's actually more flexible and possibly, I don't know, it's a little bit more comfortable, that would be great. The bigger problem I had with the app is that it just bricked after, I think it was a week. I mean, it was a week and I went online and everyone had the same complaint. So I was like, just not ready for prime time. If the rest of this is better, sleeping aside, sure, I'll try it out. I really like the idea of a fitness wristband something. Then again, my Nike Fuel Band, I was really into that thing for a few months. It bricked too, and I've never felt the need to get another one. These are kind of fad-like to me in general.
Tom, do you think the market's gotten a little bit full? When Jawbone Up came out, there wasn't a whole lot like this. There was the Fitbit, there was the Up, but they were totally different devices. Now there's the Fuel Band, and there's several different versions of the Fitbit. Then there's the Up now, again, trying and begging and pleading, telling you, it's better, we're better.
It sounds to me like the market for one that doesn't brick is wide open. So we'll see what happens.
You don't want the Jawbone brick?
You know, I was actually in the Apple store this weekend, and they have the Fitbit Zero on sale. And I got this close to buying it, but I was like, well, if I buy one of these, I don't want to get the Zero. I want to get the One. But everybody I've talked to says Fitbit is the one to use. That's the one that works. Everybody seems to like it, and now it has wireless syncing and everything. So it's going to take a lot for Jawbone Up not only to get past these bad experiences like the one Sarah had, but to catch the leaders.
Derek, do you think the market's still open, right, wide open for Jawbone, or is it just...
Well, yeah. Well, my roommate, my co-host, Swoopy, she's a fitness Nazi. So she liked the Fuel Band, and then she read all the reviews, like just Tom mentioned, and she decided not to get one because all the people she's talked to has had one, it broke. So when I saw this as one of our little options, I sent her the link to it to her phone, and she said, "Oh, she might get this one." The fun part is I've never actually used one of these things. Do they usually all have the sleep thing?
No, that's sleep. There's only a couple of them that do sleep, and they're usually, I think the newer ones are larger.
I think the Fitbit One does the sleep thing, but not the Fitbit Zero.
Right. Also, the sleep thing is not some magical way that it's reading your mind and knows you're in REM sleep or anything. It's based on movement. You can be laying there wide awake, and the Up is not going to know that. Mm. You could be really stressing about some show that you have to fill in for Leo Laporte on the next day, and you're staying up for 4 hours in the middle of the night.
Right. Or a night demon could be sitting on your chest and stealing your breath.
These are common problems.
And you're too terrified to move. So, the Up isn't going to know that.
These are common problems.
What does it usually measure then when at all? Does it, when you're sleeping, does it have any measurements or anything like that?
It measures movement, and then it makes a report based on that.
Yeah, if you're restless, then you're more likely to be tossing and turning, that sort of thing.
All right, got a couple more stories we want to get to before we finish up here. Gogo, bringing you faster Wi-Fi in flight. I've been hearing for this forever, Sarah. Is this for real this time?
Well, I certainly hope so, since they've jacked up their prices on some of their flights and really upset people. So Gogo announced today that we are getting faster in-flight Wi-Fi, starting with 25 planes.
Oh.
Ooh, a whole 25 of them. Wow. From U.S. Airways, Delta, and Virgin, although they say they plan to expand to additional aircraft, even American Airlines.
I'd love United to just have Wi-Fi in the flights I'm on.
That would be nice, too. Yeah, I agree with that. The existing ATG-3 framework tops out at 3.1 megabits per second, which is inadequate when you're sharing it between a bunch of people on a plane. I think anybody who's had Gogo slowdowns or Gogo just not working at all understands that frustration. I have found in many flights, I would say a good handful of flights that I've been on, it just wasn't working after I had already paid, and there was not an easy way to get refunded. I mean, that's just a bad customer experience. The new framework is ATG4. It's powered by EVDO, Rev-B cellular technology, and Gogo says it's going to improve the experience. We're not going to tell you exactly how much, but it's going to be better. Now, you might recall I mentioned price hikes back in September. Some customers noticed Gogo was now charging $10 per hour on flights from New York to San Francisco. Well, depending on the trade winds, that could be a six-hour flight.
What, yeah, right?
$60? That's insane. It should be about $10 per flight, right? There's also GoGo Unlimited and GoGo Traveler Pass. That's $39.95 and $34.95, which makes a lot more sense for people who just travel a lot. But this better be good. This really better be good. Because when you're on a plane, I know it's magical and wonderful to have internet access. You know, we didn't used to have that. It wasn't that long ago that it just wasn't an option. And now on certain flights, it's really great. But you cannot gouge people with prices like that with abysmal speeds.
Even this faster speed is EVDO. I mean, I feel like I haven't talked. I feel like I'm back at CNET when I talk about EVDO. It's been that long since that was a thing to be bragged about. So, granted, you're right. I mean, this is Wi-Fi in an airplane. For goodness' sake, I'm not going to complain too much. Mm-hmm. But the price should match. I mean, Derek, do you think this price is too much?
Well, the funny part is I've been using GoGo since they kind of put it out, because on Delta they have a lot of planes that have it.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those. I used to travel 99% of my time, so I still have so many SkyMiles left on Delta that I'll probably never get rid of them. And so I get the free GoGo every time I fly on Delta. So I always look at the price, and I've seen it go up a couple times, and I think the price is bizarre to me, because isn't it really just the hardware they put on the plane already? And so I think it's weird that they would try to price themselves out of people buying it, other than the fact that maybe like cellular phones are trying to get less people to buy it so they can have more bandwidth.
I will complain loudly about this. I mean, if there's going to be a service on the plane, I want it to be really good. 9.8 megabits per second would be nice. I mean, sometimes I know my iPad or my device, my laptop, doesn't have all my movies on it or anything. And the last resort is streaming. And good luck trying to get streaming video on an airplane.
Yeah, it's not meant for that yet.
Not yet. 9.8 megabits, maybe you'll get a chance if you're watching something really, really low resolution. I'm just, if you're going to charge a ton of money, then you better have really fast freaking speeds. I'm tired of paying too much money so I can check Twitter. That's all I can really do. That was my other workaround, doing RSS feeds, because there was no way I was going to be able to see something as nice as The Verge with big graphics everywhere and video embeds, because it would take like 3 minutes to load. I can barely stay still on that plane, let alone waiting for the thing to load. So make it faster and make it actually worth the money.
Well, and the target market for this is people who are doing work, and those people can probably expense these fees a lot of times. So they're less price sensitive than your user who's just doing it for entertainment or to pass the time on the plane. And I think I've found GoGo to be very usable for that. I've done a lot of work on a plane, even in Google Docs, using the old GoGo wireless. So it depends on who you are and what it's meant for, whether this makes sense or not. The fact that they're charging so much per hour, I think, is to kind of push people into buying passes and buying these unlimited plans and stuff like that, to say, like, hey, if you only need it for an hour, then pay this month. But if you need it for the whole flight because you're working all the time, then you probably need to upgrade to one of our other plans.
It's also a way for, you know, currently if you buy a 24-hour pass, right, which is pretty much what you would do if you were going to take a flight, you know, it's the same price to go to LA as it is to go from the west to the east coast. So it's GoGo's way of saying, well, but then you pay less.
Yeah.
If you're only on an hour flight rather than a 6-hour flight, this doesn't necessarily always mean that you pay more. The problem is that once you've got that hour of internet on a long flight, you're just going to keep buying it.
Yeah. Oh, I just need one more hour.
Let's be honest. Yeah. It's not really fun to be sitting on a plane when you know that there's internet there.
All right, let's finish up with Jessica Lessen at Wall Street Journal reporting on, in general, about Apple having more employee-friendly programs, things that help them more with being able to see what their stock options look like, making counter offers. Tim Cook, in general, has been reported to be just friendlier and more approachable. But one of the main things they're talking about is a program called Blue Sky, which gives some employees up to 2 weeks out of their normal schedule for special projects. And in the past, Apple's been very, very the opposite of this sort of Google 20% times sort of stuff. They say, we decide what you work on, and you work on it, and you're happy because you're working at Apple, and that's it. Do we think that this sort of, hey, you know what? We want to give you a little more leeway in what you work on. We want to have a little bit of that startup culture like Google and other companies have that come up with new cool stuff like filters for Gmail, or Google Maps came out of Google's 20% time sort of program. Sarah, is this indicative of a change of culture at Apple? Are they becoming a friendlier place to work?
Well, I mean, if Apple has worries that they're going to continue to lose employees because there are just better places to work, better company culture, I guess. And not only that, but places that are making products that, you know, I'm thinking about the Nexus sellouts in the UK. I mean, it's not like, hey, I work at Apple, I am not going to complain about anything because it's the best place in the world. There are other company cultures that are working really well. Apple hears about that, and it's like, it's not too hard for them to give employees a little bit more leeway or make them feel a little bit more comfortable or happy. This makes sense. I think this is kind of the norm. When you're at a big, big company and you don't want to bleed out some of your best talent, keep them happy.
They're certainly far from having, you know, free lunches and foosball tables and all the things you hear about at a lot of companies. The Apple scenario has always been your perk is that you get to work at Apple. And if you don't want to work at Apple, then go. We don't want you here. That seems to be changing a little, Derek. You know, what do you make of this?
The first thing I thought was, well, if you read that those things about when Tim Cook talked about his time with Steve Jobs before he passed away, he said to him many times that do not make Apple what you think I wanted it to be. Make it your own. So I think that's what he's doing. I think he's trying to realize what's going on in other companies like Google or whatever other company you want to talk about. And I think he's trying to like make sure that Apple stays current.
But Ayaz, does this show that Apple is no longer as good of a place to work, as strong of a place to work, that they actually have to give employees perks of any kind?
I don't think that's true at all. I figure Apple just wants it, like Sarah was saying, make their employees happy. Because they're going to work harder. I like the name Blue Sky. What was it before? Like Gray Cloud? Like you're just stuck you're going to be at a cubicle. You're never going to see your family. I mean, if you want people to be thinking about Apple products or working when they're not working at home, they'll be thinking all day because Apple's treating them better. Same thing with Google employees. It's the idea that you will like your company more because you have Tim Cook up there. It's not like the same regime where it was you're fired in the elevator and you were rehired by like the time you hit the ground floor. There's a total different feel at Apple at this point. And to keep those employees happy and basically keep everything smooth. I mean, Forstall's out for effectively a similar reason. Like, hey, you guys are not working together well.
Some people might consider that a perk.
That's a perk. You're gone too. Now you have more time to actually see your family. Again, Forstall, another guy that kept people there all the time. So maybe they just want their employees to be happy. It's a crazy idea, but maybe it'll work.
No, your reward is changing the world. Your reward is being able to say, I worked at Apple. That's a big difference to say, oh, we actually just want you to be happy. Anyway, just be.
You spent too much time in the intern mindset in intern entertainment, didn't you?
Oh, I definitely have had bosses who explicitly have said, "Well, you get to work here." You know, there's a line of people who would take your job if you don't like it. So that is sort of a common conception of how to treat employees out there. I don't think it works very well either. Let's move on to the randomizer. It's more fun. We get to battle over pronunciations. The Oxford English Dictionary has picked its words of the year. Now, they picked a different one for the UK than the US. UK gets omnishambles, which is a word from the show The Thick of It. The Thick of It actually is a funny show that have coined many, many pieces of slang out there. Omnishambles gets the nod in the UK. But here in the United States, and the reason we're talking about it on Tech News Today, is GIF.
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 A verb that describes creating a simple looping animation. So it's not GIF. It's not just the graphical interchange format that's getting word of the year. It's verbing.
It's graphical GIF. Interchange format.
Verbing.
GIF.
Or like giant or giraffe or, you know.
Okay.
So you started this pronunciation research this morning.
This was coincidental.
Yeah.
Coincidental.
Now, how did the results come to you? What do people
very
say?
Very mixed. I would say it is a 50-50 split with a few people saying the G is silent. but no, it's people. It's just, some people say it's GIF, like the peanut butter. And then other people say, it's GIF because it's graphical. It just makes sense. And then people say, the founder of GIF says that it's a hard G. And then other people say the opposite.
The founder of GIF says it's a soft G. Yeah. You'll hear both.
Forget the pronunciation. Right. Who uses it like a verb? I don't use it like a verb. It's a
GIF,
noun.
GIF me.
Well, that's the word of the year. It's a new thing.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, that's not...
Apparently, lots of people use it like a verb.
People are using this. I'm completely unaware of saying that as a verb.
Get with the times.
I can't.
Do you think that there's a rise because of the animated GIF?
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah,
you know, absolutely. Kind of that internet craze right now.
You gift it? Or you like send it?
Is this 1984? I mean, really? I mean, this is weird. How did this work? I mean, I've been dealing with GIF, Jollies, whatever they call them. It's like 1983. Why is this suddenly a big thing?
It's a meme. No explaining a meme. I just PNG everything.
Memes just happen.
I believe it's pronounced Mimi.
Meme.
I have dealt with this controversy many times over the years and have come to the conclusion that both ways are right. There is no consensus. There is no correct.
Unfortunately, you are wrong.
And even that's
wrong. I'm going back to ANSI art. I don't care about any of this.
Right.
It's ANSI.
ANSI. Oh, okay.
Well, this episode of Tech News to Die.
Tech.
You're trying too hard.
Is brought to you by Ford, featuring 6 versatile entertainment features such as browse your music collection by genre, album, artist, playlist, or song title, all using voice commands. Playlist sync allows voice activated control of your media player. It'll even play a list of music you're in the mood for. Just say, I want to hear some jazz. Play some jazz. It'll play some jazz for you. Listen to your entertainment on most any device. Voice control music, no matter how it's stored on your streaming device via Bluetooth, USB drive, or MP3 player. They do iTunes tagging. If you're listening to a song on the radio and you're like, I love that song. I want to buy that song. I want to put that song in my iPod. You can tag it with voice commands and then buy it on iTunes later. Best of all, Ford offers sync on every 2012 and 2013 Ford vehicle sold in the United States of America, including the 2012 Ford Focus. You can learn more about this and other technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles, and they're way into tech over there. If you haven't taken a look, go to Ford.com/technology, and we thank them for their support of Tech News Today. What's on the calendar, Sarah?
Well, Tom, DefragCon is happening tomorrow in Broomfield, Colorado. You can learn more at defragcon.com. T-Mobile is going to carry the HTC 8X and 8S starting tomorrow. That's November 14th. HTC's 1X Plus and 1VX are arriving on AT&T's network on the 16th. And the PlayStation Vita is launching the PS Plus service on November 19th, which is free if you're already a PS3 subscriber.
Well, let's move on to what's incoming.
Incoming message.
Got a voicemail. Love getting the voicemails. 260-TNT-SHOW. Here's another comment on the controversy over the SEALs being disciplined for working with Electronic Arts.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on the Navy SEALs consulting EA. I held a clearance as little as a few years ago. And for out-processing, they tell you something as simple as a resume needs to be sent through to DOD to be approved. And something as simple as that, everything else needs to be clarified 100%. So that's my 2 cents. Take care.
Well, it seems to be clear to people who claim to have knowledge of the matter that these guys should have known and would have known that they needed clearance to do this kind of consulting. So thanks for your contribution to that understanding. I got one more email to go.
An email from Dave. Hi, TNT crew. Yesterday, you had an email describing an idea for a way to select different credit card rewards programs for different purchases. There is actually a just recently released product that does just this, the Dynamics ePlate card. It allows the user to choose between 2 rewards programs by pressing a physical button on the face of the card at the time of the purchase. The 2 rewards programs can also be swapped out for others from an ever-growing list at any time from a smartphone or a computer. It left us the website. Disclosure, he works for Dynamics Inc., which makes this card. Huh. It's kind of a cool thing. Like the little features, you can change the rewards from like Dark Horse Comics to Upper Deck and like these other partners that they have a huge list on. It's
not quite as cool as automatically knowing which one gives you the most points or whatever, but still pretty nifty. Yeah.
The one card with lots of rewards.
All right. That's it for this episode of Tech News Today. Thanks to folks for submitting stories on our subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com, the place we look every day to get ideas for what stories to cover. Derek Colanduno, thank you so much for joining us. Let folks know about the Skepticality podcast, where they can find it, how they can subscribe, all the ways to find you online.
Well, we just released our new episode with Science 101, which is kind of like a comedy thing, kind of like Jon Stewart's America the Book, but it's about science. We do skepticism and science. That's what we pretty much we do. And we do the official podcast for Skeptic Magazine, which is a national magazine you can find in every bookstore that still exists.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem.
Skepticality.com. And that's it for us. You can find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT. You can email us at tnt@twit.tv or give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll be back tomorrow with Stephen Shanklin from CNET joining us. See you then.